Welcome to a series of netcasts brought to you by Yale University.
In this netcast, Jonathan R. Macy, Yale Law School Deputy Dean and the Sam Harris Professor of Corporate Law, Corporate Finance, and Securities Law, discusses the current economic crisis and how less, rather than more regulation, may be better for shareholders and the economy alike. Professor Macy is the author of the new book, Corporate Governance: Promises Kept, Promises Broken. Professor Macy is interviewed by Caitlin Thomas, Assistant Director of Public Affairs at the Yale Law School.
Welcome, Professor Macy. This book seems particularly timely given the current economic climate. What inspired you to write Corporate Governance?
Well, it does seem quite timely, unfortunately. I wish it were timely because things were going so well in the corporate governance world instead of being timely because things are going so poorly. What inspired me to write the book was just a thinking that there was a tremendous amount of writing and theorizing and punditry on the issue of corporate governance, and very little of it made very much sense to me or had arguments that I thought were particularly cogent or persuasive. There's a kind of a received dogma that the corporate governance revolves around the board of directors without a lot of thought about how these boards of directors really work, how effective they really are, how people get on boards of directors in the first place, how they stay on the board once they're there. So I just thought there was a real need for maybe not the right approach, but what seemed to me it's certainly a different approach and one that, at least to my way of thinking, makes sense.
One of the major themes of your book is the tension between the interests of shareholders and the law. You argue that less rather than more regulation may be better for investors, and that reliance on the Sarbanes-Oxley Act is badly misplaced. How so?
Well, that's a very good question, very timely. It's unpopular now to talk about deregulation. And we're as I give this interview, and we're in the middle of this big market crash, and everybody seems to be a born-again regulator. And you're absolutely right. My book does focus a lot on deregulation, and it criticizes the Sarbanes-Oxley Act. And frankly, I think that recent events have proven these sorts of criticisms to be correct. The central portion of the Sarbanes-Oxley Act was Section 404, which deals with internal risk control devices, and you know, all the companies that we see imploding today, these financial services companies, are subject to this statute. And I think it's one thing is painfully clear now is that the increased attention to risk management that we were supposed to get with Sarbanes-Oxley, we haven't gotten, and that firms have been free to engage in really incredibly excessive risk-taking, and that these so-called regulatory or legislative solutions just haven't worked very well.
You write at length about the ineffectiveness of shareholder voting and corporate boards of directors as mechanisms to control managerial deviance. What, in your view, are the most effective mechanisms for corporate governance?
I do say that shareholder elections and boards of directors are unreliable and ineffective. In my view, the markets are much more effective. In my view, corporations are disciplined, sometimes brutally so, by capital markets, by the market for corporate control, managerial labor markets. And so basically the story is that the richer and more robust the competitive environment in which corporations operate, the better they're going to perform. And that we have a lot of regulation which basically insulates management from market forces. And we have a lot more of that kind of bad regulation now than we did even when I wrote the book, thanks to the recent bailout proposals that we've gotten. And so, you know, I think that we should have regulation that basically encourages market processes rather than regulation that discourages market forces.
You also write about what you call America's exceptional approach to the governance of the corporate enterprise. How is the U.S. model of corporate governance different from that of other countries?
At the time of the writing, and it's not, things are moving so fast and we're undergoing such convulsive changes, it'll be interesting to see if we, maintain our American exceptionalism. But the U.S. approach to corporate governance is exceptional in a couple of ways. First, we have much more atomistic share ownership than other countries, meaning that we don't have large block ownership where families or corporate groups will have controlling interest in a series of corporations, and that the public shareholders will be minority shareholders. Here, corporations or shares are owned by millions and millions of institutions and people, and no institution or person typically owns much more than a very small fraction of the shares in a particular corporation. So that's one aspect of American exceptionalism. The more, to my way of thinking, intriguing aspect of American exceptionalism is the fact that in the United States, our corporate governance system is self-consciously shareholder-centric, meaning that the corporation is run by the board of directors in the United States who owe fiduciary duties to the shareholders, and the fiduciary responsibility of the trustees of the corporation are to maximize shareholder value. Whereas if you look at, say, the continental European model, the model is much more that the corporation is this quasi-public entity that is supposed to advance the interest of all constituencies and not to sort of exalt one, such as shareholders, above others. But, you know, as I mentioned before, we have now the government as a major stakeholder in nine very significant U.S. financial firms, from Merrill Lynch, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley. And we'll have to see whether this will lead to a shift in this American exceptionalism. It very well may, and I think that would be a shame.
And you write in the introduction to Corporate Governance that trust rather than reliance on the prospect of enforcement is the focal point of a successful system of corporate governance. Do you think that American shareholders' trust is too badly broken at this point? And would the markets be able to recover without government intervention?
It certainly is the question of the day. That is to say that the reason we see ourselves in the economic panic that we're in at the moment, and the reason we've seen this dramatic freezing up of the capital markets, the overnight interbank money markets, the commercial paper markets, interbank lending, is because people don't trust their counterparties. So we've definitely see in the United States a historic dissipation of trust. And as I say in the book, one of the major points in the book is that this sort of trust is really the backbone of any economic system, of any free market system. The reason that I would say that it's not too late to salvage things, the problem is isolated in the sense that while we've had a massive, dramatic erosion of trust, it's not really a trust in people or in institutions. It's isolated into a trust in valuation models, a trust in certain accounting methodologies, particularly mark-to-market accounting. And then if we can move towards a more rational system of transparency with respect to accounting, a better system than we have with respect to these very flawed notions of mark-to-market of assets, then I think that, you know, people will regain trust in the system and will be, you know, back in business, as they say. But we've had this kind of ridiculous notion, really attributable to some academics, I'm afraid, and some misguided policymakers, that assets that are very thinly traded and arcane and illiquid and opaque should be marked to market, despite the fact that no market exists. We sort of create a highly fictitious market and then mark these assets to that highly fictitious market, and we have done ourselves a great disservice by forcing the write-downs of assets, which has caused a tremendous implosion of trust and confidence.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
I think that the one thing we didn't touch on is boards of directors. And the question is, I mean, boards of directors are typically viewed as a sort of a panacea and received wisdom of corporate governance. And the argument that it occupies makes up sort of a very core focal point of this book is I make the argument that directors are very likely to become captured by management, and that it's extremely difficult for directors to maintain their objectivity and their independence. I don't argue that all directors inevitably become captured by management. I just suggest that that's the tendency, and it's an extremely difficult one to regulate, and we need to expand our options with respect to corporate governance and make sure that lots of other market strategies are being used for dealing with the problem of monitoring management and providing protections for investors. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
This netcast was produced by the Yale Law School on October 16th, 2008.